Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day. I am Pastor JP. I'm the founding senior pastor here at Crossline. I want to greet you all. Thank you so much for being here this Mother's Day and celebrating with us. If you are a guest, I want to give a special welcome to you because one of the unique things about our church is we like to say that we are a safe place to hear a life-changing message. Because the hallmark of who we are is that Jesus Christ has changed our lives. And we believe that every person is on a spiritual journey. Now, we know that on any given Sunday, there's some folks who have never been to church in their entire life and certainly make no claim to being people of faith. And then we have people who've been part of our church since we began 12 years ago, maybe people who have loved God from the earliest memories of their life. But the Bible says this, that God loves us, He created us, He's got a plan for our lives. And so whether we realize it or not, we are on a spiritual journey. And our goal every Sunday is to encourage people to take their next steps. And so we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you actually feel empowered and encouraged from our service to take your next steps of where you are in your own relationship with God. Especially on this Mother's Day, we want to say thank you to all the moms. And we're in this series on relationships. We're talking about the fact that it's all about relationships. And if we're really honest, if our relationships aren't working, then our life is not working. And, you know, women, whether you're a mom or whether you're married or whether you're single, whether you have kids or don't have kids, you have your own unique network of relationships. So woven into this series, there's Mother's Day and there's Father's Day. And so we're going to be speaking about men and dads on Father's Day. But today, because it is Mother's Day, we want to talk about what is the unique role, not just being a mom, of being a woman and how you are honored and blessed by God. And the men here want you to know how much we appreciate you. So if you are a woman here this morning, would you just stand up and allow us to give you an applause saying thank you so much. Thank you very much. We honor the moms, the wives, the sisters, the daughters, the friends, the cousins, the aunts. We honor all of the relationships that we have with you because God honors you. In fact, God honors you so much, gals, that there is a chapter in the Bible specifically written for women. Now, I've kind of done a little research talking to my wife and daughters and talking to some women, and sometimes this chapter actually gets a bad rap because it seems so idealistic that it puts a lot of women under the pile. It's Proverbs chapter 31, and I want to tell you that my goal this morning is anything but putting anyone under the pile. In fact, what I want to do is I really want to speak grace into and over the life of every woman who is here. I want you to understand that God put this chapter in the Bible not to be a standard of performance, but to encourage you to say, He loves you so much. He has so much value in you that He's actually put into His word an extended teaching of Scripture to encourage and empower and call you to the purpose that He has for your life. Because God has not just a purpose for every one of us, but in a unique way, God has a purpose for every woman here. And that's true, again, whether you are a mom, whether you're married, whether you're single. It's a purpose because God loves you. And God wants you to know the value that you have. In fact, as I was thinking through kind of where I wanted to go with this message, I kind of put down to know, to feel, to do objectives. Little, you know, note to anybody who's putting a message together, that's a good place to start. Where do you want to end and then start from the beginning to work towards the end? Well, this is where I'd like to end. I'd like every woman in our service today, as you leave here, I'd like you to know that you're loved and valued by God, and that He has a calling on your life, and He's actually given direction for the woman He has created you to be. I'd like you to feel valued and loved and inspired to align your life with God's plan. And what I'd like you to do is ask for and receive the grace that's in Jesus Christ so that you can fulfill your full potential as a woman of God. Proverbs chapter 31 says this, "A woman of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her, and He lacks nothing of value from her. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still late at night, and she provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets out about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. This passage, as I shared, is not meant to be a standard of perfection that brings condemnation and shame. In fact, it's actually meant to bring empowerment and to bring clarity for the purpose that God has called you to as women. God loves you, has a plan for your life, and he's spoken in this passage the worth that you have to him and to others, and the calling that he wants to encourage and empower you to step into. Now, there's a few things about this passage that I think will help us to understand. First of all, it's in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are wise sayings. They're meant to be interpreted not as literal, unalterable truths, but as statements of divine probability. What most of the time happens when you do what God says to do. We know life always has some exceptions, but this is about what most of the time happens. Also, the Proverbs are written in poetic language. So this is a poetic description of a godly woman. It's meant to be understood by what the metaphors and similes and analogies point to. And like any passage of Scripture, the ultimate role model is not the person or the character being described. You know, we would kind of fall short if we made Moses or David or Daniel or John the Baptist or the Apostle Paul or the Proverbs 31 woman our ultimate role model. They're just human, imperfect examples pointing to the perfect example of Jesus Christ. The goal for every woman, just like the goal for every man, is to pursue Jesus and to become more and more like Jesus, which begins with having a personal relationship with Jesus. So this role model of Proverbs 31 is kind of built upon the assumption that you are seeking God and opening up your heart to what God and only God can do in your life. And it's meant to be an encouragement, not a judgment, but an encouragement, because God loves you so much. He's actually given you a direction for your life and a calling that he wants to fulfill within each woman here. This passage, the backstory also helps us understand. The first 9 verses tell us a little bit about what follows in verses 10 to 31. See, in the first 9 verses, the writer is saying that his mother, the queen, is giving him some advice. So Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs. So if we were to assume that he's speaking about himself, this is his mother's encouragement to him in terms of the woman he ought to look for as a wife. Now that's important, because when you read the various characteristics that are described here in Proverbs 31, you need to not think of like a Modern Family wife context, or even Leave It to Beaver wife context. You need to think more something like Downton Abbey. You know, like an aristocracy, because this is the advice to a king about his future spouse, and if he's the king, his spouse is going to be the queen. Yeah, see, so there's some things that are kind of unique to even the historical background of the description in the passage. Also, this is not primarily or exclusively talking to a wife or to a mom, because the Hebrew word here in verse 10 where it says a woman of noble character or a wife of noble character, it's the Hebrew word isha, which is the word for woman or female, and then the context helps describe whether it's talking about a single woman or a married woman. But just in the word that's being chosen, it's talking to women. So this is Mother's Day, and we certainly honor the moms among us, but not every woman here is a mom. We honor the women among us. This is a word specifically to women. And it's describing, as it says in the NIV version, the woman of noble character. Actually, the way the writer is putting this together, the way I picture this is like a painter who is looking at a model, and he's painting a portrait. And he's wanting the painting to best represent the model. And so he has a palette of colors before him. And he puts each color of the portrait together to be most lifelike to the model. And so what Solomon, who is the author here, as the human author, he's taking different colors and painting a portrait of the woman that God wants every woman to become, and that God wants to empower every woman to become. And so he paints with the color of character, the color of relationship, the color of priority, the color of competencies, and the color of faith. And all of those go into the portrait of the woman God wants every woman here to become. Now, he starts off with this quality of character. I mentioned that in verse 10. A woman of noble character who can find, she's worth far more than rubies. I already said this is speaking about women in general, not just moms or not just wives. And then where it says noble character, this is a very interesting word. And I think when we come to understand the word, it'll kind of destroy some of our stereotypes, because this passage is not describing the 1950s woman. Nor is it describing the modern feminist version of a woman. This is a whole new calling. God has a call on your life, women, that is different from what culture tells you, either culture of the past or culture of the present. God's call is different. God wants to empower you in your life to be a woman of beauty and power and strength, a woman of virtue, a woman of excellence. In fact, all of those terms are appropriate descriptions of this Hebrew word, chayel. The Hebrew word can be translated noble character, virtuous, excellent, strong, valiant, mighty. In fact, if you just look at some Bible translations that have been put together of this passage, the King James Version translates this as the virtuous woman. The English Standard Version is the excellent woman. The New International Version is the woman of noble character. The New Living Version is a virtuous and capable woman. The Darby Version is a woman of worth. The Wycliffe Translation is a strong woman. The Orthodox Jewish Bible is a woman of valor. Do you realize, women, God has a call on your life to make you a woman of influence, a woman of strength, a woman of destiny, a woman of impact, a woman of character and virtue and excellence. That's what God wants you to become. And that's what God has provided for you to become. And he's actually written out this description to say, you are of such worth to me and such importance in my kingdom program that I'm giving you a whole passage, a whole chapter to empower you to step into the destiny that I've called you to be. And it's not a destiny that culture defines. It's a destiny that God defines. It's a woman of value and influence and excellence and virtue and character and strength and valor. In fact, in this passage, Proverbs 31, it says that this This woman of noble character is clothed with strength and dignity. She speaks wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You see, it's about the character. It's about what's on the inside that then comes out on the outside. And we know, I mean, don't we really know that's what really matters? I mean, we get caught up on the external, but what really matters is in the heart. Jesus said that in Mark chapter 7. Jesus says that what comes out of the mouth first comes up in the heart. And then because it's in the heart, it comes out of the mouth. And so if you want transformation in your mouth, what do you got to start with? Your heart. So the godly woman of influence is a woman whose heart, whose character is being transformed by the love and power and grace of Jesus Christ. There's a character of strength and beauty on the inside that then gets expressed on the outside. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 15, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent and who may live on your holy mountain?" It's the person whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to their neighbor, who casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, who honors those who fears the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, who doesn't change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, and who doesn't accept a bribe against the innocent. The person who does these things will never be shaken. See, in the final analysis, it's our character. It's our heart that really matters. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter is kind of describing the godly woman, the virtuous woman, and he says that their adornment is not external only, but it's the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. And I've told you before that I prayed and continue to pray for each of my kids. And when they were born, I asked God to give me a Bible verse for each of them. And so with my son, Taylor, God gave me Joshua chapter 1, which is be strong and courageous and strong in the name of the Lord. With my youngest, Ashton, who just graduated from college, we were back. That's why I was gone last week. And Jason preached. And thank you, Jason. Let's appreciate Jason for the great job he did. I was at my daughter's graduation. In fact, at her graduation, my wife looked at me and said, "I just feel so nostalgic." I said, "I feel so thankful I'm not paying any more tuition." So for my daughter, Ashton, the verse was right here out of Proverbs, the Proverbs 31 verse. "Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." But with my middle daughter, Kylie, the Lord gave me that passage from 1 Peter chapter 3, that it's that hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And so I prayed that verse for her every day of her life. And when my children were little, I used to put the kids to bed. And so I would put Kylie to bed and I would pray for her. And as part of my prayer for her, I would pray that God would give her the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And when she was just a little toddler, you know, she'd be praying with me and I would pray for her to have the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And then when she was preschool age, I'd be praying for her that she'd have the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And she was probably about 5 years old one night and I prayed for her and I don't even know why, but for some reason that particular night as I prayed for her, I didn't specifically mention the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And I prayed for her and I said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And then I was walking away and I was about to the door and I heard her kind of say, "Daddy, Daddy." And I turned around and she said, "You forgot the imperishable quality." So I went back and I prayed for her that she would have the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. You see, what God is saying in Proverbs 31, Psalm 15, 1 Peter chapter 3, it's the heart. It's the character. The woman of virtue, the woman that God is calling you to be, gals, is a woman of character. And that's a character that only God himself can build into your life. And he wants to build into your life as he takes over more and more every part of your life and he produces his love and his grace and his gentleness and his strength and his valor and his might and his virtue. It's that color, you see, Solomon is painting this portrait of this woman of virtue and influence, he uses this color of character. A second color that he paints this portrait with is relationships. This passage is filled with the various relationships that a woman finds herself in her life. See, all of us are called to relationship, whether we're single or married, whether we're moms or dads, whether we have parents who are alive, or we have relationships with people. That's what this whole series on relationships is about. And that's why we've said, if our relationships aren't working, our life isn't working. So we had Pastor Kenny kick this series off talking about what Jesus said was the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's a foundation for all relationships. And then I spoke on all the one another's in the Bible. There's like 50 commands and references to our relationships with one another. And then last week, Jason spoke about work, making it work at work. We have these unique relationships at work. We're going to be talking about if you're single, how do you have relationships as a single person. We're going to be talking in the future in this series about if you're married, how do you have relationships as a married person? And we're going to talk about if you're parents, how do you have relationships as parents? And then we're going to finish the series talking about Father's Day and men and how we have unique relationships as men. And today we're talking about women and the unique relationships with women. And Proverbs 31 talks about the various relationships that this virtuous woman has. Some of these all of us here can connect with, and some of these only certain ones we might connect with, depending on our season of life and where we are on our journey. But it mentions her husband, her children, her servants, the poor, the merchants that she has connections with. The point is, the virtuous woman of influence lives out that godly life in her relationships. The calling that God has on you, women, is a calling to relationship. Whether you're a mom or a wife, whether you're single, divorced, widowed, whether you have yet to get married, whether you ever will be married, you have relationships. And in those relationships, that is the venue that you shine the very character of God. That's where your valor and your strength and your beauty and your virtue and your noble character gets expressed. It gets expressed in those relationships that God has placed you in. And this passage in Proverbs 31 talks about the high calling of those relationships. And one of the things that you see as you look at this description in Proverbs 31 is in each of these relationships, there is what psychologists call bonding and boundaries. I guess the best New Testament parallel would be truth and grace. See, bonding is our capacity to connect with people and develop healthy intimacy with people, appropriate human interaction and exchange. And boundaries is our capacity to separate from people. It's the ability to say no. So when a person has healthy bonding and boundaries, they have healthy relationships. When a person has grace and truth, they have healthy relationships. And the Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who has those kind of relationships. Again, whether it's in the family with husband and children, or whether it's in the workplace with servants and fellow merchants, or whether it's with people who are in need, the poor. The relationship that the woman who was a woman of virtue, the kind of relationship she has is she moves into those relationships both with the capacity to bond, but also with the capacity to have boundaries. With an engagement to consider others as more important than herself, but also with the personal security and character identity to say no or to separate. See, that's healthy relationships. That's what God calls all of us to have. And he specifically is mentioning it here in Proverbs 31 as he calls women to being women of virtue and strength and valor and connection. He says in this passage that the Proverbs 31 woman, about her relationships, she She's like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She gets up while it's still late at night. She provides food for her family. She provides portions for her female servants. She considers a field and she buys it. And out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Her husband is respected at the city gate. He takes a seat among the elders. Her husband and her children call her blessed. How blessed is the man whose wife is like this. See, these are scriptures that basically say that this woman of influence, this woman of valor, this woman of character, she's able to have relationships of truth and grace, of bonding and of boundaries. And so women, this is a calling that God has put on your life. It's to be a woman who moves into her world with the personal security of a relationship with Christ and with the confidence that you've bonded with God and you understand the boundaries that he has and you can move into relationships with others in the same way. Here Solomon is painting this picture of a woman of influence and a woman of character, and he uses the color of relationship. Here's a third color that he used. It's her priorities. Proverbs 31 says, she gets up while it's still late at night. She provides food for her family. She sets about her work vigorously. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. You see, our priorities are revealed in our actions and our habits. If I wanted to kind of catalog your life, I could take pictures and I could take a video. Now, pictures are like a snapshot of a moment in time, but they don't really tell the whole story. They just kind of reveal what's going on right there. It's like something you put up on Pinterest. Looks awesome. A video tells the story. What happened before, what happened at the moment of the picture, what happens afterwards. And the video actually tells the real story. See, the video reveals the way you really live your life. And it's the way we really live our lives that show what our priorities are. Priorities aren't something that we just, you know, put in a Word document. Priorities are the choices that we make, the way we do our relationships, the actions that we perform, the habits that we walk in. That's what our priorities are. And so this description in Proverbs 31 is telling us the priorities of a woman of virtue. See, God is calling women to have priorities that distinguish themselves as having a connection with Jesus Christ and having the flow of his grace and his truth moment by moment in their lives. This description in Proverbs 31 shows that the virtuous woman puts her family first. She's selfless. She puts others before herself. She works hard and long. She's diligent. She cares for the poor. She's generous. She is creative and artistic. She pursues excellence. She values the Lord over charm and beauty. You see, that final verse is really what everything in this chapter is leading up to and is at the heart of everything in this chapter. The charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. But that's a priority. And probably the most difficult priority of any of these described in this chapter. Because, gals, you know this. And guys, I think we know this too. We just don't have to live with it. And that is that culture constantly bombards women with putting the focus on the external, not the internal. And it must have been true even when Solomon was writing this. Because why would he say charm is deceitful and beauty in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised, if it wasn't a pressure to pursue charm and beauty over faith? So that priority has always been the toughest priority for for a woman to internalize. I was having a conversation this past week with my daughters and with my wife, and they were expressing how that's just built in. Like, a funny, silly example might be if we went to the beach and we were at the beach and a guy was walking around, you know, with a few extra pounds in a bathing suit that he probably shouldn't be wearing, having those few extra pounds, people wouldn't, you know, give it the time of day. But if a girl walked by carrying a few extra pounds in a bathing suit she probably shouldn't be wearing, carrying those few extra pounds, she'd be the topic of conversation. I think we as men have no idea the pressure you gals have when it comes to the physical appearance and how that shapes your identity and your perspective. And so God is saying here in this description to empower women that the culture might say one thing, but God is saying, I'm saying something else. Your value and your worth is not exclusively tied to how you look or how you dress or the charm in which you conduct yourself. No, it's your heart. It's the hidden person of the heart. I was looking on just some statistics in relationship to this. It's kind of interesting just how this gets worked out in our culture. A recent survey done by the beauty retailer Skin Store showed that women in the United States spend about $300,000 in their lifetime on makeup. Most women will use at least 16 skincare, hair care, makeup products before they leave the house. In another study, it was found that the average woman spends 10 minutes applying these 16 different products in the morning and 7 minutes taking them off at night. So that's 17 minutes of the day just devoted to some form of a beauty enhancement. Last year, $12 billion was spent by women on plastic surgery in the United States. $12 billion. See, there is such a pressure on women when it comes to the external, when it comes to the beauty, when it comes to the appearance, when it comes to the charm. And God's saying here in Proverbs 31, what really matters is your heart. And a woman who understands that doesn't mean she doesn't work on her beauty, doesn't mean she doesn't try to present herself as well as she can, but it means in her own heart, her priority is in a relationship with God. And that's what God is calling women to, that the women of virtue, the women of excellence, the women of valor. It's that color that he's painting this portrait. It's seen in her priorities. It's also seen in her competencies. Proverbs 31 describes the woman of virtue, the woman of value, the woman of excellence is a woman of tremendous competencies. This is not the description of some woman who's barefoot and pregnant. This is a description of a woman who's industrious, who's hardworking, who has business savvy, who knows how to make deals and negotiate contracts, who gets things done, who prepares for her family, who's creative and artistic with her hands, who runs a household. See, this is a description of a woman of tremendous impact and influence. This is God's description of a virtuous, godly woman. And it describes specifically in the way that she deals with the affairs of managing a household. That's not even describing if in addition to managing the household, she is a working woman. There's a whole new set of competencies and skills. I looked at a resume this past week. This was a mom's resume. So this relates to those of you moms out there, a woman who just said, I'm going to take what I do as a mom and put it in the form of a resume to present myself to be hired as a job. My knowledge, I've got language skills. I have skills in psychology, education, training, medicine, and dentistry. I have social perceptiveness, speaking skills, active listening skills, judgment and decision-making skills, monitoring skills, complex problem-solving skills, and critical thinking skills. In my job, I have service orientation, I execute time management, I coordinate schedules, I persuade people, I instruct people, I have learning strategies, I know how to negotiate with difficult people in conflicts. I have reading comprehension, active learning skills, writing skills, and system evaluations. I employ oral expression, problem sensitivity, oral comprehension, deductive reasoning, and inductive reasoning. I assist in the care of others. I make decisions and solve problems. I establish and maintain personal relationships. I develop constructive and cooperative working relationships. I get information, process information, and disseminate information. I communicate, I supervise, I coordinate, and I provide. I'm a mom. So it is anything but a perception of women in any type of inferior or subordinate role. God is calling women in this passage to step into their God-given identity as women of valor, strength, virtue, excellence, competency. The woman that God has intended in this passage and that he wants to work and produce into the life of every woman here is a woman of tremendous strength and beauty and competence. All of this in this passage is leading up to the conclusion that charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so as Solomon is painting this picture, this portrait of the godly woman, the final color that he adds that actually makes the whole portrait come to life is the color of faith. It's the color of faith. You see, when he says in this one line, a woman who fears the Lord, that one line description is basically, especially from the Hebrew scriptures, a comprehensive statement of all it means to be a godly person. To fear the Lord is to love the Lord, to worship the Lord, to prioritize the Lord, to have a God-sized vision, to live in active, healthy obedience, to move into your world with love and service and a life that reflects all of who God is. To fear the Lord is to be God-centered. It's what God would desire for every person. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today. Fear the Lord your God and serve him, hold fast to him, take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performs all these great and awesome wonders that you see." To fear the Lord is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To fear the Lord is to obey him and abide in him and serve him and be all that he created you to be. And so in this description in Proverbs 31, what God is saying to every woman is that the calling that he has on your life is to be a woman who puts him first in every area of your life. A woman who loves him with all of your heart. A woman who sees God as bigger than any of your problems. A woman who trusts God with every challenge. All throughout the book of Proverbs, the writer comes back to this. In Proverbs 1:7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In Proverbs 2:5, he says, "The fear of the Lord is to have understanding and knowledge." In Proverbs 9:10, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." In Proverbs 10:27, he says, "The fear of the Lord adds length to your life." In Proverbs 14:27, he says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life." In Proverbs 15:16, he says, "With the fear of the Lord, there's great wealth." In Proverbs 16:6, it says, "The fear of the Lord is love and faithfulness." In Proverbs 19:23, he says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." In Proverbs 22:4, he says, "The fear of the Lord is humility." And in Proverbs 31, he says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Ladies, my prayer for you is that you will fear the Lord, that you will know how valuable you are to God, that he loves you so much he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, to rise from the dead, to completely remove the barrier of sin so that you could be reconciled to him, and to know that he has a special calling on your life. My prayer is that you would feel valued and loved and inspired to step into your God-ordained identity. And my prayer is that you will act upon this passage of God's word, ask for God's grace, and leave this worship service empowered to step into the role that God has for you as a woman of character and worth and valor and strength and beauty and excellence. Let me pray. Father, I pray for every woman here that she would have her heart open to all of your grace and truth. And I pray for every woman to know deeply in her heart that you love her, that you have a plan for her, and that these words are to be words of life and encouragement and hope. And I pray that you would work in the hearts of every woman here so that every woman would be a woman of noble character and virtue and excellence and strength and beauty and valor. God, we thank you that you have done everything for us, for both men and women, to come into a relationship with you, and it's all by your son, Jesus Christ, and it's all by your grace working in our lives. And we praise you that you reveal in your word how we can know you and how we can follow you. So I pray that we might open up our hearts to you and run after you and step into the will that you have for our lives. Holy Spirit, may you bless every person here and may they feel in their hearts this has been a good day to be in the house of the Lord and to worship you. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.